We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
And I'm a professional fan, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.
WYXR 91.7 FM, Monday night, DJ Lola kicking it off, doing what DJ Lola do, you know how DJ Lola do. Jared J.B. Boyd here for your Talking Memphis. It's always good to sit down and talk it out. I've had some interesting meetings over the past few days, and talking it out has gotten us to, if not a solution, then at least a point where we can say, hey, let's have some action items for the next time. It helps to. I'm not gonna pontificate too long on what talking does, but I just want to set up the fact that a lot of conversations have happened that have led up to this opportunity that we'll have tonight. And I'm always excited to introduce you to someone new who we'll be talking to and talking about. Things happen around Memphis. I'm not gonna even delay it any further. Not that I can't find my way to where I'm trying to go, but I just can't wait to introduce you to a friend of mine, Mr. Frankie Dakin. How you doing?
And good, man. Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be here in the house of JB.
Lola left a disco ball on. I feel like we should be dancing rather than talking Memphis.
Yeah, you don't have to lie, man. I know this is you. I appreciate you setting the mood.
For those, we'll talk about why we're both here, but I'd like to just set the stage because people, if they've heard my voice on the station before, they may be aware of my role as program manager here at WYXR from the beginning, from the launch of this station. But I'd love for people to know more about what role you occupy currently in our community before we talk our way back to why we're both here.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now I'm the deputy chief of staff for Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris. So a lot of words there.
Yeah, you know. Let's break it down. Deputy Chief of Staff.
You know, Deputy Chief. So what that really means is, you know, in my office, I'm responsible for a lot of the public policy initiatives of the mayor's office. So really trying to advance our next era, as we like to say. I also provide leadership to our communications team, which, you know, you opened up with talking is so important.
Absolutely.
And communications is absolutely critical to, you know, the policies. You know, it's going out and understanding the community and the community understanding the work that we're doing. So,
well, checking in, just can you help me understand, you know, why Shelby County government and the fact that we have one? I mean, county government isn't always necessarily. See, county government is not always thought necessary for a municipality or area surrounding a municipality. And, you know, we've not always had a Shelby County government in the sense that we do now. But just from your vantage point in a short elevator pitch of how you all function and support and collaborate with the city of Memphis and serve this area.
Yeah, yeah. So you're exactly right. So, JB, you know, a lot of times when you think about you know, reaching out to your city councilman or whatnot, you know, it's for the pothole down the street. County government operates for the entire county. So there's seven great cities, you know, don't make me mention them, you know, but Millington, Arlington, Collierville, Memphis, obviously is the largest. Shelby County really provides leadership and services to all of those areas, including our unincorporated area. Another primary function of county government is schools. Mm-hmm. So the county government is the primary funder for our schools. So right now, just over the course of the last year, hopefully folks have heard about our work to build the first new high schools in this community in over a decade. So we can't build new schools without a county government that's pushing that forward. And so that's what we do.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, Frankie, and I'm sure that there are so many questions that our listeners at WYXR would love to ask you.
Sure.
You said anytime when we walked in, you said anytime. Maybe we'll have you back to talk about county government. And we want to appreciate the support of your entire team and the mayor as well, and the county commission for initiatives like WYXR. And so I'm sure we can get deeper into all that, but without belaboring it any longer, the two of us are here not to talk about county government, not to even talk about radio or our respective jobs and roles in the community, but an important piece to how we got here, I'd say. I'm gonna speak for myself and then you can speak for yourself, but Bridge Builders, a youth program that was a very key and vital role into me finding my voice and also learning how to hopefully effectively each day, and if not, hopefully even better in the future, effectively use it to impact positive well-being and change and thoughtfulness and leadership within not just this community, but there's so many Bridge Builders who've spread out to all sorts of corners of the world. It means a lot to me to be here serving Memphis. But just speak to, as an overview, what Bridge Builders means to you before we talk a bit about our own experience and how people can learn more about potentially supporting Bridge Builders, potentially enrolling a young person, a youth, to be a participant in Bridge Builders, and how we can move this work forward.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I'll start by saying that Bridge Builders right now is really the hub for youth leadership, youth empowerment here in the city. And that's grown so much since our time in Bridge Builders. But it was absolutely critical for that back in the day. You know, for me, I went to junior conference. I don't even want to mention the year. I think it was before 2010. Don't want to age myself too much. Like most juniors in high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And I went to Bridge Builders Junior Conference, just to be completely honest with you, is, you know, I thought it'd be good for my college resume. And I was right. You know, Bridge Builders is great on that college resume. But what I found was, really quickly, I learned my purpose through that work. Through meeting other students in Bridge Builders, I expanded my network in the city. And I really fell in love with this diverse tapestry that is Memphis, with the blemishes and all. And
okay, I like the way you've been using language already. You mentioned earlier reaching out, and you mentioned the blemishes. You know, here we have a term around WYXR, not to cut you off, but Unvarnished Glory. So you saw the Unvarnished Glory in that moment.
Right, 100%.
Continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, man. No, no. I think that's exactly right. The Unvarnished Glory. I think it's, you know, through learning the stories of my peers in Bridge Builders, I realized that I had just seen a sliver of this community. You know, I grew up in Millington. I was at Millington Central High School at the time. And there was so much more, you know, here, so much potential, untapped potential in my peers. And I didn't know what I wanted to do at that moment. But I knew that I wanted to do it here in Memphis. And I left Bridge Builders with a passion for community service at that time and really just getting involved in my community. And more so, a passion for doing it here and trying to advance this city. And that really paid dividends, you know, when choosing where to go to college and whatnot.
Absolutely. You talk about advancing the city. I'm going to advance and move just a little further in this playlist. And we'll hear some music. This is We Need Love by Donald O'Connor. We'll talk about bridges when we get back. That shows love, I'd say. Not just needs love. We show a lot of love in Memphis, Tennessee. WYXR 91.7 FM. Station with the city soul. Oh, yeah. Frankie Dakin, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to be here.
How do you like that song, Needin' Love?
I love that. I need some love. And I agree. This is a place that shows some love.
Well, we're talking about Bridge Builders, an organization that has given us a lot of room to love. I mean, that's a high level word, but I'm speaking from the heart here because really don't need a script to talk about how impactful this organization has been for us.
For sure.
You know, you told your story about how you sort of first came into contact with the organization. And of course, Bridges has been around leading in the community since, it's been over 20 years now. I mean, excuse me, it's been over 100 years now from the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And has changed forms. I mean, it wasn't founded as Bridges, actually. It was founded within the local Episcopal Church and sort of took on different shapes and forms. And in the modern day, youth leadership was, you know, a big umbrella for that. The youth development and leadership was a big focus. But in 1988 is when Bridge Builders, there you go, our beloved Bridge Builders was born. And so you can go on their website and see more about their long history, bridgesusa.org/history. If you want to know a bit more about how the organization, the larger organization that has birthed Bridge Builders and Bridges, has changed throughout the decades and throughout a century now. But speaking of the last 30 plus years of Bridge Builders, born from a partnership with just two schools, would you believe that? To reach across our community, and that's those two schools being, let's see, Northside and Briarcrest. Getting together, so it started with just two schools, Northside and Briarcrest, and has encompassed and touched so many schools in the tri-state area over this 30 plus year period of time. Mine, White Station High School, where Mr. Scott Moore, the late Scott Moore, was the advisor at the time when I was graduating high school. And prior to that, I'd gone to Peace Jam, where I met, you know, Rigoberta Menchu Tum and some other Nobel Peace Prize laureates, just as a teenager, having lunch in a casual situation, just an opportunity. You know, I don't think I knew the gravity of it at the moment that I was in it. But as I continued to grow in my own personal journey and my own personal leadership, I fall back like, oh my goodness, this is such an incredible thing. That was my first exposure to this organization, and I volunteered to sort of help out with the middle school iteration at the time. But where I truly got my big aha moment was, you know, being a part of Bridge Builders as a junior and a senior, you know, sort of what was in our day, the traditional youth leadership conference in the summer. We go away, it was a sleepaway camp, no phones, no TV. You know, we missed LeBron James declaring that he was going to go to the Heat. That happened while I was no phones, no TV. But you quickly forget about those things that are on the outside world that you tend to lean on. When you truly jump in and immerse yourself in a youth leadership conference such as this, where as you look around, you know, it was first of all diversity, you know, sleeping away on campus, where the person that's bunking next to you probably doesn't look like you, probably has not seen many experiences similar to your perspective, maybe a different religion, certainly may go to a school that's very much unlike yours, and that's just your bunkmate. You end up with 10, 15, 20 other young people in a team group where you're completing activities, you're completing discussions. They may be some more physical than mental, but at the end of the activity, what you get from it is how everyone's perspective impacts your ability to complete the activity, said activity, how everyone's sort of mental dexterity might play a role, how their background may play a role, how their abilities, their strengths, their weaknesses may play a role. And through those discussions that might seem very, in some cases, just a surface level, trivial. It could be trivial. Oh, this person is more analytical than that person, or this person is more vocal than that person. Some of those things that might seem just like differences that, you know, we all might have, you start to unpack these discussions and over repetitions of getting to know your small group more and more, so much else can be revealed through just the discussion. And we all know what the question is that we all get into. What did we just do?
Mm-hmm.
And whether it be climb a wall, or whether it be some turn off the lights and have a real discussion, what did we just do could mean a lot of things.
Right.
And you know, you and I both worked at Bridges in summers where, you know, after four groups or three groups, you know, what did we just do for the same activity could have yielded vastly different results. You know, talk to me, Frankie, about how you found out more about yourself and about the other people you're around through being either a student or a staff member.
Yeah. So, everything you just said, JB, the what did we just do just brought back so many memories. I'll say that first off, you just don't have those opportunities to connect with folks that are different from yourself in that an intentional of a way. It's hard to find those opportunities in our adult life, much less when you're a student in high school, living your respective life. So just that experience of being around folks and having to work through those challenges was a huge growth experience for me. I didn't realize it at the time, but that absolutely fed into my hunger for leadership opportunities. To this day, the work that I do requires the skills that I learned at Bridge Builders: listening, empathy, humility. And those aren't skills that are just needed in government and, you know, social change in the sectors that I'm in. I was just listening to a podcast the other day. Bill Rhodes, former CEO of AutoZone, I believe he's still the chairman of the board. And they were talking about what's the most important thing for employees that he hires. And he said, empathy and humility.
Yeah.
And so if you want to solve a problem, make a sale, create value for shareholders, you need those skills. And we learned them at Bridge Builders. And that's not even scratching the surface of just the deep connections we made.
Well, it's not. And, you know, hopefully people are still listening. You know, maybe they might have turned away and they heard talking. But for those of you who have decided that you want to sit here and listen to JB and Frankie, you know, just have real talk about their youth experience in a program that truly impacted them, I want to appreciate you for having an interest, because, you know, as you mentioned, this isn't just for people who want to go into some specific leadership role. This is for young people to be able to sort of build the social skills that a lot of people wish they would have learned well into their years, that could serve you in being a citizen, not necessarily, you know, like a voting citizen or anything like that, which, I mean, we'd hope that you feel compelled, but just to be a human being that exists in any space, in any forum, and have a level of decorum that is just a basic human level. Well, I'll take that back. It's an advanced level of the human experience where, whether it be tackling problems, whether it be collaboration, whether it be looking at opportunities rather than obstacles, it gives you a toolkit, a toolbox, just to even ask that first question, to open a dialogue and say, what is it we just do? What is it that is our goal? What did we just learn from one another from that experience? How can we grow from this experience? And so, you know, a lot of people who maybe have been, who, let's say not people who've been through the program, but people who maybe have sent a child to the program, or a person who might have had a sibling do the program, or seen a classmate or schoolmate do the program, or maybe you went through high school, you heard about it, now you're an adult, maybe you have a young person in your home who is of the age that could take, that could participate in this program. You might look at it as, oh, they just did a bunch of stuff. They did a bunch of activities and games for a week. Or I've even heard parents, you know, drop a student off and pick him back up and say, I don't know what you did to my kid, but he's just different.
I hear that all the time.
They're just different.
All the time.
She's just different. Or, you know, even after having sent a sibling there, you know, where the sibling maybe didn't articulate to their parent, because you go back to being a teenager, you say, all right, I mean, you know. But, you know, I'm sure parents notice a change, but not necessarily know specifically what happened between this young person and their group mates to say, okay, I don't know why. I don't know what happened, but I'm sending my next student there. So between you and I and our listening audience, we're not going to talk about the activities that happen. It's somewhat of a vow that we've taken, but also it's just better when you experience it. 100%. But I can speak directly to how impactful it's been to me. And, you know, we'll also, I'll go ahead and share that you and I are both on the board now. And so board leadership, something that even after having served on a board before, I did not think that I was equipped for. And in every stage of Bridge Builders unraveling in my life, someone has seen something in me and encouraged me in a way that I probably would not have stepped up myself. And that's a big thing, is stepping up and stepping out and showing up and being able to go outside of your comfort zone to, one, have that effect happen on you. Okay, I don't quite know the roadmap to get to what this goal is, but I am learning and I'm confident in the support that I have around me, and knowing that where I might be weak, someone else might be strong, and being able to encourage that in one another.
Yeah, man. You couldn't have given me a better segue in terms of how Bridges really got me into public service. So I started my career in public service when I ran for office when I was 19 years old.
It was incredible. I thought you were crazy,
man. And I was crazy. I was crazy. But Bridge Builders made me feel like crazy was okay, you know. And I had something to add to my community. But JB, I don't know if I told you this story, but I was actually facilitating at that time. I was with a group of Bridge Builders changers, the first change group, in the Highlander Folk Center in East Tennessee with Dana Wilson.
So can you tell people, because Highlander is very important to highlight. It's not a footnote. It's a very, I'll say, prestigious thing for a young person to be able to do. It's a very serious thing.
Absolutely. So it's a training ground for organizers, and it has been for a number of years. And we could have a whole podcast about how there's really been no movement in our country that it wasn't led by youth. If we want to see, you know, change in our community, our country, it's not going to be led by two octogenarians running for president.
That's a powerful thought.
It's youth. It's youth that led that. And Highlander's really been at the forefront of that. So Dr. King spent time there.
Yeah.
Rosa Parks spent time there.
Yeah.
I was there with a group of Bridge Builders, and they were working on increasing youth voice in schools.
Yeah.
They had a few issues that they wanted to work on. At the same time, when I was facilitating them, news broke of some controversy in my hometown of Millington, Tennessee. So, I was working with these students, and I heard about, some stuff going on in my hometown. And being there at that moment, I realized I was working with these young people, but I kind of neglected where I grew up. And so after that experience, wasn't but a week or two later, I went to my first Board of Aldermen meeting in Millington. Mm-hmm. And I realized that the leadership there didn't reflect the folks that I grew up with.
Wow.
And, versus age, race. And we led a movement at that time to get youth representation on the Millington Board of Aldermen. So I pulled my petition to run for office. So if any young people are listening, it's very easy to pull a petition to run for office. All you need is 25 verified signatures of registered voters.
At what age?
At 18.
Okay.
Most seats are 18. But at the time when I pulled my petition, the Millington Board of Aldermen, and I was 19 at the time, then tried to change the charter, change the rules to make it 21 or older to run for office.
Wow.
After I pulled my petition. And so we, long story short, ran a little very positive protest. It got us a message to take forward. And over the next 18 months, we knocked on thousands of doors. And I ended up running against the longest serving incumbent on the board at that time and won by a large margin. So I wouldn't have got in that ballgame if it had not been for the young people around me that were doing the work already. And that's why I'm so privileged to be on the board now, because we just experienced that just a few days ago. These young people are not the leaders of tomorrow necessarily. They can be, but they're really the leaders of today, and we need to be lifting up their voices and just listening. They're giving us our walking orders.
Well, we'll give people some walking orders right now if they'd like to go to bridgesusa.org. The application's out now, right?
Absolutely.
To apply, for Bridge Builders.
I believe it's April 19th, so okay. Plenty of time. The application deadline, April 19th.
A youth service organization that had a huge impact on us and still challenging us to step up. But Frankie, I know a place. There's a place I'd like to go. And so if you're going to take your walking fingers and go to bridgesusa.org, look for that application. I'm going to take you to a place. I'll take you there. You listen to WYXR 91.7 FM. It's Frankie. It's JB. It's Talking Memphis. About youth voices, talking about Bridge Builders. It's JB, it's Frankie. You're talking Memphis. What you talking about? You can holler at us 914-603-0031. Let's know what you're talking about. You can talk about youth voices, you can talk about whatever you feel like talking about, you know, but I don't have to answer either. But tonight we're talking about Bridges and Bridge Builders, an organization that has been incredible in our own personal journeys. You know, Frankie, when you're talking about decisions that you made at 19, vital decision to run for office in your hometown of Millington, you know, people ask me all the time, why did you decide to go to the University of Mississippi? That doesn't seem like your vibe. And I thought, there's been no really neat way to answer it. But at 18 years old, I felt so equipped to step out of my comfort zone. And to sort of look history in its face, even if it were ugly, to sort of find a peaceful place to make some resolution, but also to make some strides to leave a personal impact on a place. And I haven't fully been able to answer or understand whether or not I accomplished that goal, but certainly pushed myself as a leader to one, just getting through college is one thing, with poise. Hopefully, I hope I was poised, but to do so with also some social awareness of, you know, I was on the newspaper, I was on Newswatch, a television show, but the big thing I did was radio, and you know, playing music that I thought would resonate in a different way in Oxford in that space, and honoring my heritage and interesting ideas presented through music. If anything, I led myself to a place, but hopefully I left Oxford better than I found it in some way. And in all the places that I've lived, whether it be Mobile, Alabama, Jackson, Mississippi, Vicksburg, and back home to Memphis, I've tried to use my voice in media in a thoughtful way that would you know, entertain but also educate. And Bridges is so much about that. You know, we have a lot of fun, you know, the groups that I can think of through the years, but I've cried a lot of tears. I've toiled and been hot and, you know, trying to motivate young people to stick with something. And it's all, you ask me a million times, every bit of it has been worth it. I've never had a day that I don't think was worth it as a student, as a staffer, as an advocate in the meantime, and now as a board member. I'm super excited.
That's right. Well, first off, I just got to say thank you to Bridge Builders for bringing, you know, or at least the role that they played in bringing JB back home. I know you spent a lot of time all over the South, and you could be doing this. You could be doing your work, doing your art anywhere around the country, and you choose to be here in Memphis. And I think that speaks volumes about the program. And I think it speaks volumes about you choosing to be here. So we're grateful for that.
Oh, man. Thank you.
And I don't think that's, you know, really unique when I, you know, you're unique, obviously, JB, but just the outstanding Bridge Builders that have came through the program, and not all of them stay in Memphis.
No,
you know, we've got friends that have went all over, right, you know, right, friends that are, you know, that are hustling in Atlanta, Dallas, New York, Chicago,
overseas.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that, you know, the Bridge Builders experience still sticks with them. And when I look at the Bridge Builders and the work that they're doing, they're still connecting with diverse communities. They're still advancing in their careers, mm-hmm, in a multitude of ways. And I think that really goes back. And if you talk to them, it goes back to some of the lessons, you know, that we learned through that experience. And I'll say this, you know, real quick before I, you know, hand it back to you, is I'll just say that JB, I remember you being a Bridge Builder facilitator prodigy. That's what I remember.
Wow.
So I was class 2010, you were 2011. So you were facilitating early on when I was a facilitator. And I remember, you know, trying to get a lesson or two from you. And wow. I was a year older than you at that time. And that seemed like a long time.
Yeah.
It's great to be with you on the board.
Well, the thing is, I mean, and I don't know that I can cop to being a prodigy or any of that, but I appreciate you sharing that. I can think about how seriously it meant to me to be trusted to help guide young people. And that's all facilitation is, I mean, it's not therapy. It's not, it can be cathartic, mm-hmm, but it's not anything as clinical as that. But it is, you know, looking at body language. It is asking open-ended questions. It is giving people a space and opportunity to share while, you know, pinpointing and guiding places that they can have a learning lesson after observing them go through an activity. And, you know, I think one thing that is probably understated is that it's springboarded. It set me up for a career of interviewing people. Mm. It made me a more empathetic listener. It made me someone who talked way much as a young person. It made me think carefully about the questions that I asked, and made me think carefully about the things that I input into an experience that might change the dynamic. And so you think about your impact in a positive way and your impact as a negative way. There are some things that you can say that will deliberately shift, particularly if you know the weight of the things you express, right, could shift things entirely. And, you know, between all of us listening, sometimes in a bridge builders group, there might be someone who is mute. Mm-hmm. And within the realms of the activity, hi, I'm your facilitator. I'm going to, got 20 young people, potentially the one who might be usually the most gregarious for this activity. You're not allowed to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Not picking on you. Just you're not allowed to speak in this activity. For the person who maybe is easily excitable, maybe sees things before some of their other, group members. Wear this blindfold for me. Not just you, two or three other people. But I want to make sure that we give everyone the opportunity to step up and lead. And for those who, maybe the person who rarely speaks up is the only person who can speak in this activity. And that dynamic changes and shifts within the way that those activities run. And, these are little secrets that you probably shouldn't talk about on the radio. But all of that to say, when you see the young person who, for 3 days straight has been kind of hanging back, step up and start directing people with their fingers and yep, moving folks around and, hey, I can help you. I'm going to guide you here. And or even to see activity completely fall apart.
Yep.
And not to allow these young people to beat themselves up, to say, what can we learn? What can we learn from an activity where, y'all might have thought y'all had this and y'all didn't?
That's right.
And how do you move forward from that? What did you see? What did you experience? Was it frustrating? Did y'all move too quickly? Did you not move quickly enough? Was there someone trying to share something that maybe wasn't heard? And you'd be surprised what young people will share. But also, sometimes it's not about the actual physical activity or even specifically there may not be something unveiled in that very deliberate discussion. Sometimes there are these really big moments that happen when the young people are just saying what's real in the moment of what they're dealing with and what they're doing. Hey, you always talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, You might be the facilitator on the sideline saying, yeah, he does always talk. But I'm glad that y'all figured it out. It's better that y'all
That's right.
You as a young leader decided to speak up for the rest of your group.
That's right. And you saw that growth every week. Every week there were students that you just saw, really come out of their comfort zone. And that was always rewarding. And like you said, it's not only the folks that might not always speaking up, that sort of growth. Sometimes it's the folks that are always speaking up, maybe
hanging
listening,
hanging back.
Listen, and that's, there's value in that. There's value in that lesson. And there's tremendous value in having that lesson as young as a high school student.
Right.
Because we get that lesson in the workplace. We all know that overconfident person, who speaks up every time. They might not know, they might not read the room. That is not the most appropriate thing.
Yeah, or they may not necessarily, because they've sucked so much air up out of the room, they may not realize the strengths of the person around them, their team member that could truly, if they use some of their voice to bring it out of someone else, then everyone could move so much more efficiently. And that could be in your office, that could be in government, that could be in church or in your religious environment, your spiritual environment. Or that could be internal, just to say, I'm going to challenge myself just to hang back a bit. We're almost out of time. I didn't expect for it to fly by. Let people know again where they can go and check out the application if there's a young person they think can benefit from this leadership experience.
Yeah, bridgesusa.org. And the application deadline is April 19th. So you've still got plenty of time. And I would just encourage you to get that application in. If you're thinking this might be the thing for you, I promise it is, so just go ahead and get that application in, give it a chance. And, if parents are listening too, depending on, you know, if your parent, if your kid's going to take your advice or your person, maybe you tell them don't apply so they will apply, or you can go ahead and make them get that application in. This is just going to change their lives.
Sixth graders through rising 12th graders.
That's right, man. Well, can you imagine having that experience when we were in sixth grade if we could have moved that up a few years?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing that I'll share is that it didn't stop when I graduated the program as a senior. The lessons and the things that I learned, the things that I said, when I continued to try some of those methodologies in college or elsewhere in my life, and now as an adult, a professional, as a community member, I learn new things all the time just by rehearsing and practicing the things that I learned as a student. But the big thing was, when we were staff members, it didn't become automatically easy just because I was sitting across from another bridge builder or someone who'd been trained in the curriculum, whether or not they were a participant earlier than being a staff member. It didn't become easier. It actually became even more complex. And every activity that we went through with students, we went through them first with the rest of the staff. And there were a lot of personalities on those staffs.
We learned a lot.
And there were, just like the young people who might go into the experience with an older sibling who had done it before and think that they know a lot about the program and have to learn that every experience is different. Just like the students that would have come into a group, maybe one or two people they recognize from school. You know, you might think, oh, I'm gonna hang out all week with this one person. And then you and that one person might have a disagreement during an activity. And then, okay, I don't know if that's going to work out, you know, or, oh, I don't know anything about that person over there. Or, I thought I knew something about that, but I heard something about that person from that other school. And you might end up, that might be your closest friend by the end of the week, the person that you bonded with the most, the person who had the closest leadership style to you. Or, you know, that awkward kid that don't know nothing about what's going on in your neighborhood. He's dropping the slang by the end of the week. Yep. He's hipper than you. Everybody's loving him. They hyping him up. He's dancing at the dance. He's doing his thing. You know, people that switch their roles so much. And as an adult going through the program as a facilitator, I was challenged by each group of students. I still see students of mine all the time, in different capacities. I'm so proud.
Leading
by
throughout the community. Leading.
Absolutely. Yeah. In different ways, whether it be a musician, photographer, you know, security guard,
yes,
worship leader. I mean, I see bridge builders in so many different roles, and we all know the universal bridge builder greetings, some of the universal bridge builder songs. We've been talking a lot, so I'm going to give people an opportunity to go out and check that website out, bridgesusa.org. Check out the application, and I'm going to play you a song. Here's Al Green, Gotta Find a New World.
As I look at this world, you know, I'm beginning to see that this is not the world that God intended it to be. Oh, no, 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 no. That's why you hear me say, now, I got to find a new world where the people understand how to treat one another throughout their land. Yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody pack up and go with me. Now, I got to find
That was Al Green, Gotta Find a New World. You know, the good thing is we don't have to find a new world. We got this one we got right here, right now. We got Memphis, the greatest city on earth, I'm going to go ahead and say, and Shelby County, the greatest county.
That's right.
We're going to have to wrap it up here in a bit, Frankie. And the discussion doesn't have to end here, though.
Of course. Same time next week.
Well, that is true. There will be somebody talking something about Memphis.
I always invite myself back.
Well, no, you're welcome to. I will not be here next week. Somebody else will be hosting. But I will say that I'll go ahead and, you know, find me, follow me, holler at me. Don't follow me physically, but reach out to me. Not hard to find on any social media. And I'm certainly pretty visible here at the concourse. You can leave a message if you don't see me. There are people who will accept that message. But if you want to talk to me, if you want me to talk to a young person about Bridge Builders and what it's done in my life in any more detail, again, I won't ruin the activities for you. I probably wouldn't be able to tell you anyway, because it's been, the curriculum's ever changing, ever evolving, sure, and addressing new students in a new way. I mean, even during the pandemic, I saw the way that they navigated as an organization, navigated that and still found ways to support youth. Sorry. However, you know, I will say this, I'm going to address this, because a lot of Bridge Builders from our era, you know, they've seen that the program has changed quite a lot rapidly in 10, 15 years. And as you're in your hustle and bustle, you've moved on to a professional life, you might look and say, well, it doesn't look like the same activities. I agree, it doesn't look like the same activities. Mm-hmm. I don't know quite intimately. You know, I'm a new board member. I look forward to learning a bit more about how the curriculum looks. But what I can say is something that you kind of already touched on. So these young people are truly affecting and impacting change in their school communities. They're doing things like Highlander, like what you were saying. You know, I see them when I drive by on the weekends. I see students through the window working on Saturdays. They're not showing up just to get a meeting credit so they can stay in the program. No. I was covering it as a news reporter years ago, a protest. Walking down the Main Street Mall, there were Bridge Builders there present. They didn't have to be there. It wasn't about what I think some young people in my era were about. It was just showing up, checking a box.
That's right.
This program has evolved so drastically over a period of time to certainly impress upon students how much voice they have as young people, that they can go out and begin to do the work in their communities that they feel like will make them feel safer, feel fuller, feel better cared for, and feel considered in a way where a lot of people don't allow young people to have a voice. They sit them at a table on Thanksgiving and just leave them there. Leave them with a tablet.
Yeah. Or we talk about them in the news. We just talk about them in the news. That's all that we do.
Yeah. Well, those are my parting thoughts, and I'm excited that I get to serve on the board with you, and I'm excited that our friendship has evolved over the years and that it continues to, and that we have this very sacred toolkit to be able to reach one another and go out and reach the world. I'm extremely proud of you as well, man.
Well, I'm proud of you. Proud of you.
Well, thank you, man.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. Parting thoughts on Bridge Builders?
Man, just that it like you said, it's constantly changing. I think that's driven by the youth that are part of it right now, and I think it's incumbent of upon us as adults now to support that. The values are the same, you know. Yeah. And I think we've just deepened in those values. So if you're a Bridge Builder out there in Uwawa, and you know that the organization is still the one that you fell in love with, and we just got to support these young people as they go through. And for the young people, go to bridgesusa.org before April 19th.
And for the adults, and if you're listening, it doesn't have to be your own young person. If there's a young person in your life, you've seen leadership potential in them, even if it's just a spark, just an ember, they can develop it. They can grow. And growth looks different for everyone. There could be the child that hasn't made a peep in several months, but you've seen skills in them that make their eyes light up. Mm-hmm. Or it could be the young person who is constantly stepping up to lead, and you see within them that if they hone certain skills, maybe they could lead with more intention, more purpose. There's so many ways to mark that progress. Ultimately, it's up to the person themselves to figure out.
Sure.
But, you know, it could be that one adult, the neighbor, the youth leader in some other capacity, the coach. You know, I can think of a player in the NBA who I remember him as a student. I thought, man, he must have worked so hard to get to the level that he could be in the NBA. But I remember him for whatever, you know, however the week, 1 week out of the summer that he wasn't in the gym, he was at Bridge Builders. I remember that, you know, I remember him as a student, you know, who knows what's asked of him as an NBA player.
That's right.
Now as an adult. But I can only imagine that it requires some leadership skills. And in every role that sort of makes this community go around, there's some way that you can step up. And I know, you know, for a fact that Bridges doesn't want to leave any child left out, any young person left out, excuse me, not to use a term like child, but, you know, there's so many ways that a young person can plug in, and it just starts with planting that seed.
And I think that's so strong about how the program has grown. You know, I think back in the day, you know, we required a guidance counselor or somebody like that. Now, like you said, if you're an adult, if you're a young person, you can if you're an adult, you can connect that young person to bridgesusa.org. If you're a young person, you can take it upon yourself and apply. And I think that's really living out, you know, Bridges values.
Frankie, I'm excited because we're going to move out the way. There's a new program. Well, it's not a new program. There's a existing program, a legacy program on WYXR called Dear Diaries. Come on Friday mornings. It has moved to a new time. And I think Lena Hayes is going to come in here and have some fun, play some music. She's going to rinse off all these things that we've asked people to just think about and let them marinate. Let them marinate.
Yeah.
I forgot to add that I learned how to DJ from DJ and the Bridge Builder Dances. So,
ooh.
Yeah. I'll leave you with that nugget. Thank you so much, Frankie Dakin, for being with us. And man, best of luck in everything you're doing, man. Thank you for all your service.
Same to you.
WYXR.org is where you're probably listening to this conversation. BridgesUSA.org is where you can learn more about Bridges USA and Bridge Builders. And you and your young person, y'all get together, take a look around, and maybe you'll like what you see. If you like what you hear, keep listening. WYXR 91.7 FM. Yeah.
It's gonna be cold this winter.